Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. You know, last week we talked about Saul and how he chose to not completely obey God's instructions that he had given him. And because of that, Saul was rejected as king. So we're going to pick up in this week's teaching on Yahweh going and selecting himself a new king. So let's start here in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1. And Yahweh said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And Yahweh said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to Yahweh. And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him who I declare to you. Samuel did what Yahweh commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably I have come to sacrifice to Yahweh. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So let's pause here for a moment. So here we see in the first verse, Yahweh is coming to Samuel. He's like, how long are you going to continue to grieve over the fact that I have rejected Saul for his disobedience? And as we talked about last week, his disobedience was out of presumption. It was an outright rejection of God's instructions and his words and doing what he thought was better. Also, in seeking the will of the people over God's will. And so Saul did not have a heart that was after God. He was more after of what the people thought about him and being praised by people than he was concerned about whether or not he was pleasing God and whether or not he was fearing God. He feared the people more than he feared God. So because of that, Yahweh rejects Saul as king. And as we see here in this first verse, Yahweh says, I have provided for myself a king from among his sons. So Yahweh has provided a king from Jesse's sons who will not be like Saul, but will have a heart after him. And that's one of the things we learn from David as we read about David's life and we study David, is David had a heart after God. When David sinned, David's response to his sin was different than Saul. Saul's response was, even though I sinned, please glorify me amongst the people. David, on the other hand, when he sinned, was concerned about his relationship with the Almighty. And so we see the difference between the two in their approach and their reaction to when they sinned. David responded in true humility and repentance, while Saul did not, okay? So let's jump down to verse 6. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely Yahweh's anointed is before him. But Yahweh said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For Yahweh sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but Yahweh looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has Yahweh chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shema pass by. And he said, neither has Yahweh chosen this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, Yahweh has not chosen these. Okay, so I want to pause here and let's look at verse 7. So Jesse brings his sons out before Samuel because he's there to anoint one of his sons. So Samuel's like, bring your sons in front of me. And Yahweh had instructed Samuel, one of these I have chosen. So Samuel is waiting. Remember, Samuel knows the voice of God. He has learned it. We talked a few weeks back about how Samuel went through the process of hearing God's voice and how he was a prophet and how what he spoke came to be because Samuel knew God's voice. So he only spoke what God told him. So Samuel knew as his sons were coming before him, whether or not it was the one that God had chosen. But God tells him here in this verse, I don't look on the outward appearance. Now, when you think about Saul on the outward looked like a king. Saul had the appearance of a king. And we see here as this list is starting, Jesse is sending his sons before Samuel and the ones that he thinks would be the ones to be king. But what we learn here in this verse is Yahweh chooses a man to be the king that no man, that even Jesse himself, the father, did not expect to be chosen to be king. He thought so little of David, he didn't even bring David to the sacrifice. He left David out tending to the sheep. But what was David doing while tending to his sheep? He was walking in humility. He was going about his father's business. He was being obedient. The rest of the sons here seem to be what Jesse thought would be, oh, it's going to be one of these. I don't need to bring David. It's definitely going to be one of these. But what does Yahweh say? I don't look on the outward. Man's looking on the outward. I am looking at the heart. One of Jesse's sons has a heart to serve me. He has a heart to be king and lead my people in righteousness. One who's going to be without fear. Because he knows he's walking in covenant with me. And it was one that no one ever would have thought it was going to be. So let's look at verse 11. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And Yahweh said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of Yahweh rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So as we look at this story, so imagine every brother is passing before Samuel, probably hoping that they're going to be the one anointed. And as each brother appears before Samuel, Yahweh is not telling him to anoint this one. So he knows it's not this one. It's not this one. It's not this one. Then he gets to a point where it's like, do you have any other sons? Yes, I have this one. And as David comes before Samuel, we see what Yahweh said. Arise, anoint him, for this is the one I have chosen. Probably shocked everyone around them that David was the one who was anointed. But we're going to see here why David was the one who was anointed. And had it been one of the others, they wouldn't have had a heart to serve God. And they wouldn't have fulfilled the purpose that Yahweh had for David to fulfill for Israel. David was the chosen one. There was something special inside of David in his heart that no man could see. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 32. Now, this is regarding the story of Goliath. Now, remember, Goliath comes before the camp of Israel and challenges them. And he tells them, look, you send one of your men to fight me, and whoever wins, the loser's camp has to serve the winning camp, has to be their servants. And Israel was afraid and in fear of Goliath. In fact, a few of David's brothers were a part of the army and were a part of the people who were cowering away from Goliath. So the ones that were passed over rightly. Because when Goliath came, they didn't have the courage to stand up to him like David did. Okay? So David is sent down there to bring food to his brothers from his father. Here's a very interesting thing. So David has been anointed king, but yet David is still a servant unto his father. He's still doing what his father is telling him to do. And you can see he still seems to be being treated as the least of his family. But David does not seem to take issue with it. He seems to continue to do what he is told to do and serve in the matter that he has been called to serve. You know, humility goes a long way. And that is something that Yahweh looks for in us. The willingness to serve and be obedient with where we are. Not saying, well, I will do that when I get to such and such position or when I have this much influence. It's that you're going to do and you're going to be obedient to that which you have been given where you're at. And David was that. David was faithful to do what was right when nobody was looking. Are you faithful to do what is right when nobody is looking? That's why David was able to be chosen by Yahweh to serve as king, because Yahweh knew he could trust him, because he did what was right when nobody was watching. So let's look at verse 32 here. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. So David sees this giant. In fact, his words when he walked into the camp is, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Now let's stop and think about what David is saying when he calls Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine. He's not just throwing out an insult at Goliath. He is talking about something. He is saying something that is pretty profound. Circumcision was the mark of covenant with the living God of Israel, the Almighty God who was above all any gods of the earth. David knew he was in covenant with the living God of Israel, and as long as he was in covenant with the living God of Israel, he had nothing to fear. His brothers and the army of Israel have forgotten what it meant to be in covenant with the living God of Israel. So when he calls Goliath an uncircumcised Philistine, what he is saying is, who is this Philistine who is without covenant with the living God of Israel? And why are you fearful of a giant who is not in covenant with the living God of Israel? when we are. Because it doesn't matter about what weapon you have. Doesn't matter about how big he is. You have Yahweh on your side. So David says, I will go and fight with this Philistine, because he knows that Yahweh is on his side. This is the heart of David. This is why David was chosen to be king. Let's look at verse 34. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and his uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, Yahweh, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and Yahweh be with you. So we look at this little passage here. First thing we see here is we see the examples of David doing what was right when nobody was looking. When he was out there tending to the sheep by himself in the field, he killed both lion and bear to protect those sheep. He wasn't fearful of them. He killed them because he knew that Yahweh was with him. And just as he was faithful to protect the sheep from the lion and the bear, he knew that when it came time to fight the giant, he would be ready and that Yahweh would be with him because he was with him when he faced the other trials. So it's important that we learn to do what is right in the small things. Because when we show that we're faithful in doing the smaller things, when nobody's looking, then he can know that he can trust us. And we also learn that we can trust in him. And as we build that trust with him and we build character, that's what David did. David learned and built character and integrity while working with the sheep in the field. You know, we need to learn to spend that time building character and integrity, working the sheep in the field, just as David did. Because it was in those times, it was in the field with the sheep, that his heart after God was developed, and he became the man that could be trusted to be the king of Israel, because he did what was right when the lion or the bear came after the sheep. And so just as David said here, just as Yahweh protected me from the lion and the bear, so will he deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. Let's look at verse 43. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. So Goliath is upset that David has shown up to fight him with basically what he had was his slingshot, a staff, and his slingshot. And Goliath is insulted by this, right? And let's look at verse 44. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Now let's look at David's response here in 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day, Yahweh will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that Yahweh saves not with the sword and spear, for the battle is Yahweh's, and he will give you into our hand. So the Philistine, Goliath, is upset because here is this giant who's been taunting Israel for days on end. And he's got his sword and spear and a javelin in hand. He is ready for war. And David shows up with a slingshot. Goliath is thinking, how in the world is this little boy with just a slingshot going to fight me? You see the pride that comes out of Goliath's statement. That's what he is thinking. But David, we see where David's trust was at. David's trust in killing Goliath wasn't even in his own ability. He wasn't believing he could beat Goliath because he had this ability to kill the lion and the bear. His trust and confidence was in Yahweh and Yahweh alone. His confidence wasn't in the slingshot. It wasn't in somebody's sword or spear or javelin. It wasn't in a weapon. Upon him defeating the bear and the lion in the past didn't boost his ego regarding his fighting skills. It boosted his trust in Yahweh. And that's the very thing he says here. I don't come to you with a weapon. I come to you in the name of Yahweh, the living God of the armies of Israel, who you have defiled. So you are going to pay the price for defiling the armies of Israel. His confidence is in God alone. So that's what David learned while being in the field. And it was because of that heart right there that we see, and how he responds to Goliath is why we can see he had a heart after God, and why God chose David to replace Saul. Because it's very interesting in the story of Goliath that Saul himself never even stands up to Goliath. And of course, we know David goes on to sling his slingshot. He hits Goliath right in the middle of the forehead. Goliath collapses to the ground. Then David cuts his head off and grabs his head and runs through the camp of the Philistines, showing off that he had defeated Goliath. That is the type of bravery that we should walk in, not because of what we are or what we have, but because of who we are in covenant with. May we all have a heart like David, who is willing to serve quietly in the field until we are called upon, to be faithful in the little things, and to walk in covenant with God, and to know that because we're in covenant with him, we have nothing to fear. And we let us kill our lions and bears so that when Goliath in front of us, we can defeat Goliath as well. Well, hallelujah. I hope that this message has blessed you. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.